talking about the last couple of weeks, right up here on the wall, what to do when. We started out talking about what to do when I don't know what to do. Then we talked number two, the second week, what to do when I feel discouraged. Last week, we talked about what to do when negative thoughts come. And we do have CDs from that service last week back there for you to pick up. Now, I didn't get completely finished with the topic last week, what to do when I get negative bad thoughts. So I want to kind of pick that up where we left off last week and talk about that a little bit here. And as I said last week, how many of you here have ever had to deal with bad negative thoughts before? Anybody here? You can have bad negative thoughts about yourself. You can have bad negative thoughts about other people. And you can have bad negative thoughts about God. That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? Bad thoughts about yourself, bad thoughts about others, bad thoughts about God. And if we're honest, all of us have had bad thoughts in all three of those realms. Okay? Do you ever think bad about yourself before? Think, doggone, I should have done better. You know? Negative thoughts about yourself. And some people make a profession out of criticizing themselves. Amen? A couple of years, well, it's been more than a couple of years ago, 15 years ago, we were sitting down with a Christian couple, and I don't even remember who it was, it's been so long, but the wife, she forgot something, you know, and she made this statement while we were talking. And she says, "Oh, stupid me." Like she forgot. No, oh, who hasn't forgotten something before? She goes, "Oh, stupid me." But when she said it, it grieved my heart. When she said the dear Christian lady. And I said, "Let me ask you a question. Would you say that to someone else?" And she goes, "What do you mean?" She wasn't aware of what I was saying. I said, she goes, "Well, what are you talking about?" I said, "Would you call someone else stupid?" She goes, "No." I said, "Can I ask you a question? Number two, why would you call yourself stupid? I never thought of that before." Okay? And you know, I didn't say it in a mean, harsh way. I said it in a way that she was, "Oh, okay, I get it," you know. But listen, all of us from time to time have forgotten something, okay? But we don't need to call ourselves stupid or brainless or something like that. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to curse ourselves, right? And so we can have negative thoughts about ourselves, about other people, about the Lord, but it's so important that we have God's thoughts. Now, last week, we started to talk about three areas. Where do negative thoughts originate, number one? Number two, can I control those thoughts? And number three, can I get victory over bad thoughts? Now, as a pastor, you know, I've counseled thousands of people through the years, in over 35-plus years of not only pastoring, but being an assistant pastor, and you meet all kinds of people from all different walks, some bad, some are really bad, some are just not so bad. But I have found this, that if people don't understand the origin of a thought, because everything starts with a thought. Right? The act of adultery starts with a thought. Jesus talked about that. Right? Sin starts with a thought, a suggestion. All right? That's how the enemy operates. So if we can go back upstream and find out where the origin is, where it all starts, back upstream, if you will, then we can locate where these bad thoughts, where their origin is, where they're coming from. Okay? You know, it's funny because when countries go into war, like when America would go into war against a country that was, for example, over in Iraq and stuff like that, when the war was going on, the two wars, the first thing that they would do is take out their communication systems, their cell towers, things like that, you know, where they can't communicate. They get to send those bombers in there and take out their communications, so that now they're not able to communicate with one another. And that's kind of like what we need to do in the realm of the Spirit. We need to take out the thing that's sending the message to us, the bad messages. Now, we saw in 2 Corinthians, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I want you to see verses 3 through 6 again. We talked about this last week. Are you ready to receive from God today? 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For though the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, in these verses of scripture right here that we just read, we brought out last week that there are three particular things that are mentioned here, and I'll give them to you in this order. Number one, thoughts. Say thoughts. Okay, thoughts. Number two, imagination. Say imaginations. And number three, strongholds. Okay? Now, Paul says here's a progression here of how this is, gives us some insight on how the enemy operates. Now, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians that we're not to be ignorant. 2 Corinthians 2, I think, we're not ignorant concerning Satan's devices. How many of you know Satan has devices? He has schemes. He has strategies. We have to know his arsenal. We have to know the way that he attacks people so that we can nail it. If there's bullets coming from somewhere, but you don't know where it's coming from, you can't attack it. Right? If there's arsenal being shot over from somewhere and you're like, where's that coming from? Then you're at a disadvantage. But when you know where it's coming from, you can attack its source. And Paul says right here, he says, thoughts, imaginations, and strongholds. Now, Satan's primary arsenal that he has, listen really carefully, his primary arsenal that he has and that he uses is number one, thoughts. Say thoughts. All right, now these are bad, negative thoughts. Now, if these thoughts come and they're not dealt with, in our case, the life of a believer, if they're not properly dealt with, they become, number two, an imagination. Are you with me now? If the imagination's not properly dealt with, then number three, it becomes a stronghold. So in other words, something that has a grip on somebody. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody, encourage somebody before, but they're not getting it, they're not seeing it? You're like, come on, you can do this. You're okay, you're going to make it. They're like, no, I just can't see. I just can't see myself. And you want to shake them. I mean, you just want them to see they can do this. Well, what's happened is they got a thought. They didn't deal with the thought. It became an imagination. And number three, it became a stronghold. Now, I'll just refer to this because of time, but we saw last week in the book of John chapter 13. I'll just refer to this. John 13 verses 1 and 2. It says, when the supper, when Jesus, the Last Supper, Jesus, you know, well, there it is anyway. It says, but before the Passover feast began, Jesus knew and was fully aware that his time was come, for he had to leave this world and return to the Father, and he had loved those who were in his own in the world. He loved them to the last and to the highest degree. Now, verse 2. And it was during the supper that Satan, having already put the thought, notice this, the thought of betraying Jesus into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. We'll stop right there. So, where did this thought come from? Did it start with Judas? It's not a trick question. Where did this thought originate from who? From Satan. All right. So who put the thought into Judas's mind? Satan. Okay? So a bad thought originated with Satan. That thought was a thought of destruction for personal gain. I can get 30 pieces of silver. I'll be richer. Well, that didn't help, obviously, because after he even got the money, he went out and hung himself. Okay? That money didn't mean anything. Isn't that funny how the devil will tempt you to do something? And then when you do it, he knocks you over the head with condemnation. That's how the devil operates. The scripture tells us that sin has pleasure for a season. Only a season. Listen, you know, when you put a trap out, you don't just put a plain trap out. You put a good piece of cheese on there or peanut butter or whatever, you know. Because a mouse is not going to go after a trap that has nothing on it. He's going after that piece of cheese. That's the closest thing I can think of. Okay. And so what does the enemy do? He puts bait out there. And he says, you'll be better off if you do this. That's what he told Adam and Eve. He said, you know, hath God said? Yeah. You'll be like gods if you eat this fruit from this tree. Now here's the problem. They're already like God. They were made in God's likeness. They were made in God's image. But the devil made them feel inferior by making them think that they didn't have something that they already possessed. Inferiority, insecurity are always from the devil. Always. You'd be better off if you had this. You'd be better off if you had that. And when they bite the fruit, then they see the fruit, the results of it, and it's not good. And so this whole thing with Judas, you know, talk about thoughts, imaginations, strongholds. And there are believers that are bound by bad thoughts, bound by imaginations, bound by, you know, strongholds in their mind because they haven't dealt with the source of where that's coming from. Now, I made mention of the fact some time ago, I was ministering, Lynn and I both were ministering in, what's the name of that town? Apollo. There's Moon, there's Mars, and Apollo. We were asked a number of years ago, we're going back probably to 1989, 88, something around that time, when we had our first church, you know. And a friend of mine had taken a church in Apollo, Pennsylvania, which is like an hour from here, something like that. And back in those days, we had Saturday night services, or we had Sunday morning free. So he was on vacation, long story short. He asked me to come and minister for him. Remember, his pastor's name was Brian Gobar. He's in Minnesota now. But we were asked to minister there. So we went over, we ministered. We didn't have any children during that time. This was a couple years before kids came along. So we're ministering in this church. And we had a prayer line after the service for people that needed prayer for healing or whatever, you know. And so there was probably 20 people or so forth that came up for prayer. We're going down the line. We're praying for people, and people were just getting ministered to, you know, and the musicians are back there playing and so forth. And all of a sudden, we came upon this, I want to say, about a 22-year-old girl, 23-year-old girl, something like that. And she had a green baseball hat on that had the big words across it. Looked like she did it herself, and it said dummy. D-U-M-M-Y. And I thought, that's really odd, you know. We're in shirts, we're praying for people. She's got this, you know, St. Patrick's Day color hat on. And it said dummy across her head. Well, when I got there, and I'd never met her before. I'd never seen her before, never talked to her before. We're just praying, you know. But when I came to her, my spirit got mad. Something was ticking me off on the inside. It was God, actually. Oh, something's not right with this, you know. Righteous indignation, as they call it. So I prayed for her, and I said, ma'am, after we're done praying, after the service is dismissed, can you come up and talk to us? I'd like to talk to you. Because I knew that we couldn't really take care of that right there. We could pray for her. But I felt like I needed to say some other things. But in the public scene, that was not the place to do it. So I wanted to pray for her afterwards. Well, she came up, still had her hat on, in church. You know, now she looked very oppressed, very beat down, very discouraged looking. Looked like last year's bird nest. You know what I'm saying? Just real haggard looking, you know, just beat down, you know. And she came up with that hat on. She looked at me and I said, take that hat off right now. So she reached up there and took the hat off, you know. And I said, would you do me a favor? Destroy that hat. Okay. And I said, let me ask you a question. Why? Now, we're getting somewhere here. I said, why are you wearing this hat that says dummy on it? That's not a positive thing. She goes, well, it's kind of like this. My mom and dad nicknamed us kids, and when I was young, they started calling me dummy. Now, that wasn't her real name, of course, but they called her dummy. Now, those people that have parents like that, I like to take them, drive them out to the country, chain them up to a tree, and pray for them all night long. Who in their right mind? Now, nicknames are okay, but you got to be careful what kind of nicknames you call somebody. Really, because names are significant. Names have power behind it, okay? I mean, names meant something in the Bible. Okay? Right? Are you with me now? So be careful with nicknames. Be careful what you call people. It might sound cute and everything, but listen, there's more behind that cuteness. You got to be careful. Okay, now maybe you didn't know any better, but you got to be careful with that kind of stuff. She goes, well, my parents, they called me dummy because I wasn't the brightest child. You know, I had like a learning disability. They called me dummy. Well, nothing like reinforcing that. Who are the real dummies here? Praise God. What gets into some people, my goodness, you know. Well, it's the devil. So here she is from an early age, tagged, labeled, dummy, stupid. She's identifying herself to the point where she's... Now, this is an extreme case. You understand this? This isn't like every person that's walking around in Pittsburgh here. This is an extreme case. But what I'm trying to point out is this. She was labeled dummy. So she began to see herself as a dummy. She wore the hat, the green ugly hat that said dummy. And I told her, I said, look, the Lord wants to minister to you today, honey. And I'm telling you, the power of the Holy Spirit came into that sanctuary. Most people were gone already. But I'm telling you, the Lord set her free that day. And I says, don't you ever call yourself this name again. I said, this is a bad curse word. I said, God is not calling you this. So don't you call yourself this. You're valuable. You're precious. The scripture tells us that we've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus that cannot even be bought with silver and gold. It says in Peter, it says, you've not been redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Do you know all the money in the world couldn't buy your eternal salvation? Every rich person, Donald Trump's included, all the money in the world couldn't buy your salvation. None of it could. But what could? The blood of Jesus Christ. You can't even put a price tag on that. I said, that blood bought you. Had you been the only person on this earth, he would have still came and died just for you. He paid for your eternal salvation. And she's like, I could see her eyes brightening up like, wow. No, the glory of God was hitting her, you know? Well, see, she had a terrible self-esteem, but when you go back upstream where it all started, it started with words. Now, thoughts can come two different ways. It can come by just a thought floating in your head, but more often than not, it comes through another individual with flesh and blood. Are you with me now? I've talked to people before that had words spoken over them. Now you know the phrase. We used to sing it as a kid. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words cannot hurt me. Did you ever hear that before? Yeah. Are you ready to sing it? No. But, you know, we laugh about that and so forth. But, you know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can't hurt me. I beg to differ. Words can stick. I've seen people that had words spoken of, negative words spoken of them by parents or peers or teachers 35, 40 years ago, yea, even 50 years ago, and those words are still haunting them this day because they've never uprooted those words. Words like, you're never going to amount to anything. You're not like your sister. You're not like your brother. And that's another thing I want to say. We should never compare siblings. Okay? They're the smart one. Well, what's that inferring to the sister or brother? Are you with me now? Now listen, I'm going to say this. Every kid is unique. Every child, every person in this church is unique. You all have your own set of fingerprints. Rejoice in your uniqueness. You have strengths that no one else has. You have abilities that no one else has. You have a destiny that no one else has. And I might add this. No two churches are exactly the same. I'm so glad we don't have to compare ourselves to anybody else because we rejoice in our uniqueness. Amen? And that helps you to realize thinking healthy thoughts about yourself. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I really feel the heart of the Lord this morning because it's so vitally important that you use words which come from thoughts that build up yourself. So we see thoughts, imaginations, strongholds. Now, that young woman from Apollo, Pennsylvania, I don't know where she's at today, but that day I saw the power of God come into her life. Amen? And set her free. And she began to see herself from that point on that I'm a different person. I'm not that dummy. I'm not that stupid. Are you with me now? So, let's talk about We know that, first of all, the origin of these thoughts, how to deal with bad thoughts, is recognizing where it comes from. All right, I'll say that, Lord. When you are physically tired, be cautious about the thoughts that are going through your mind. When you've had an exhausting day or an exhausting week, which we all have at times, and you've spent every last bit of energy plus more, and you're like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you've sucked down coffee, that's not helping you. You're just you're exhausted, man. You are exhausted. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been there before? Yeah. And sometimes life gets that way. You're just on the last edge. All right? That's when it's vitally important to listen and to rest and to get rest before those decisions. Have you ever said something when you're under pressure? Anybody here ever done that? Do you wish you could take that back and reverse what you said? I have. Amen. But I noticed this, when you're at rest physically, when you're at rest spiritually, it's easier to listen to the Holy Spirit when He tells you to do. When when people are physically exhausted and tired and so forth, you know, it's easier to yield to negative thoughts, negative thinking. Yeah. Okay? So just watch and be careful that when you reach that point to withdraw, get some rest. There's nothing wrong with some physical rest. Amen. Start exercising. You know, you'll sleep better if you exercise. Amen. Don't depend on caffeine to get you awake, amen, all right? But get some good rest, old-fashioned rest, and you'll notice you're not going to have as many problems. I remember one time I was burning the candle at both ends, you know, this is way back, and my wife, thank God for my wife, you know, she looks at me, she goes, honey, I have a word for you. She goes, go to bed. I was like, rawr, rawr, rawr. I just wanted to bark at her a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Plead my case, you know. But you know what? She was right. She goes, go get some rest. I woke up the next morning. That big mountain only looked this big, to my utter amazement. Sometimes it's not. It's just practical things. Practical things, right? That can make a world of difference, even spiritually. Praise God. So let's conclude today in the time left that we have here. I just have a few minutes left. We've talked about the origin of thoughts, where they come from. And we saw last week that the Lord said this in Isaiah, and I won't turn to it, but He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So what are God's thoughts? God's thoughts are written down in 66 books from Genesis to Revelation. Those are God's thoughts, how He sees you. What does God think of me? How does God view me? Well, praise God, we got letters. Hallelujah. Do you know? Are you ready for this one? Hallelujah. The highest type of revelation you can have is not a physical appearance of Jesus appearing to you in your room. Now, that can happen. It has happened for people that I know, people that Jesus has appeared to them. But you know what? The highest form of revelation is taking God at His word as if it was an appearance of an angel or Jesus Himself. Because, I mean, I sat under Brother Kenneth Hagin. You know, I was trained under him. Thank God for that man. Jesus appeared to him like 12 times. I'm thinking, man, just one time. One time will be great, you know what I'm saying? But you know, I can't press a button and make that happen. But I had the Lord share with me in my heart. He says, Keith, He goes, when you take me at my word, and my word alone, without any physical evidence, He goes, that's the highest type of faith that there is. When you take me at my word, as if I appeared to you. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet believe. Amen. That's what Thomas said. Remember that? He wasn't there when He appeared to the other disciples. Remember that after the resurrection? See, if you're a doubter, you're going to miss out anyway. We call him doubting what? Doubting Thomas. When Jesus appeared to the other 11 disciples, guess what? Thomas wasn't there. Someone you doubt, you do without. And the disciples told Thomas, they said in John 20, they said, "We've seen the Lord." He says, "I don't believe it." He says, "I'm not going to believe it unless I can see the print of the nails in his hands and thrust my hand in his side." He said that to the other disciples, right? The next day, Jesus appears in their midst. This time Thomas is with them. And the first thing that Jesus said, "Hey, Thomas, come here. Tom, come here." He goes, "Put your hand into my hands. Put your hand into my side." He's probably thinking, "Who told him?" Right? Do you think Jesus hears us when we don't see him? Oh, yeah, he hears. He said, "Hey, Tom, come here. Put your hands into my side, into my hands." And he looked at him, he goes, "My God, it's really you?" Then he believed. But Jesus rebuked him in love. But Jesus said, "Thomas, blessed are they that haven't seen yet believe." Praise God. Isn't that something? So in other words, there's a blessing for us when you believe God and you haven't seen anything yet. Hallelujah. You got a bad doctor's report and you're believing God. Highest type of faith is saying, "I believe God's word. I believe God's word." You got a financial need that you're not sure how that needs going to be met. "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." An angel hasn't appeared. Jesus hasn't appeared. But what do you got? You got a word from the Bible, from the word of God. And that's why the Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. Peter says, "I was on the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw Jesus, Moses, and Elijah." He says, "But we have a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God." Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Now, don't get me wrong. Angels can appear. Jesus can appear. But we can't make that happen. But let me tell you something. I can make the Bible appear anytime I want. I can open up the Word. Hallelujah. And I can read the Word of God. And it's just as real as if Jesus himself appeared to me. That's the highest type of faith there is. One of the psalmists said this, "I rejoice at thy word like one that findeth great spoil." I was a kid, I was about 10 years old. I was at the bus stop. I remember this vividly. There was a little alleyway where the bus stop was. And it was a windy fall day, and there's a lot of leaves stacked inside this little alleyway. I remember this vividly as a kid. And so we're waiting for the bus, and I'm down there just looking around, you know, and all of a sudden I looked, I thought, is that what I think it is? There was a $10 bill in the midst of all these leaves that were gathered in this little cove area. My friends were up there waiting. I was the only one there. I got down there, and I peeled that thing off, and I said, "Hallelujah." Now, back in those days, $10 could buy a lot of candy. In the 60s, you could buy a lot for $10. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, "Dear Lord, $10. And the Lord always reminded me that. He said, "Keith, you remember how excited you got when you found that $10 bill?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's what David said." He goes, "I rejoiced at the word of God like one that findeth great spoil." So that showed me something. If I read the word and I don't get excited about it, that means I don't believe it. That means, the word of God. If I say, "I believe the word of God and I truly believe the word of God," then that means, yes, I'm excited today. If I say in church, "Let's open our Bibles," everybody should be like, "Yes!" All right, I went over very well, I know. Okay. But I'm playing with you. But I'm making a point is this: how we treat the word, our attitude towards the word, determines the kind of results we're going to get. When I read the word and I says, "By his stripes you were healed," 1 Peter 2:20, "By his stripes you were healed." If that bores me, I do not have a revelation of it. If I read the scripture, it says, my God shall supply all my needs, Philippians 4:19, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that bores me and makes me yawn. Oh, give me another one, Pastor. That means I don't believe the word. Case in point. How many of Jesus is in this room right now? Okay. We just don't physically see him. He's in this room. But if he all of a sudden became, if he appeared to us in an open vision where we all saw him, all right, that could happen. And he came up here and grabbed my Bible, my iPad with the Bible on it, and he looked at you and he said this, by my stripes, you are healed. And he disappeared, and the iPad just fell. What type of a response would you, how would you react to that? Well, I could demonstrate up here, but it's not going to look pretty, I guarantee you.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah. But it's really something to think about here, because how we receive, like Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he says, when I came to you and I preached to you, you didn't receive it as a word of man, but you received it as the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. He goes, when I came to you guys, he goes, you weren't like the rest. He goes, you received it not just as the word of man, but the word of God. And because you believed it was the word of God, it effectually works in you. So in other words, there was joy attached to what they heard. When I believe something, does it produce sadness or gladness? If we believe. Now, when we believe, who hath believed our report, Isaiah 53, that to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So the arm of the Lord is the strength of God, not the fingers. God created the heavens with his fingers. But there's more strength in your arm than there is in your fingers. And this Bible says, who hath believed the report of the Lord? And it says, to whom the arm of the Lord, the power of God, is revealed. So when we believe God's word, and we get excited about it, faith works. And faith always has results. Yeah. Amen. True faith always has results. Amen. Always has results. When we sat there on that couch last week and prayed, Lord, today. You know, because we're mulling over this thing and that thing and between this problem and that problem, you know, and like, I said, you know, let's just do this. Let's believe right now, this psalm right here. I would have fainted unless I would have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We prayed. In 10 minutes, something supernatural took place. Maybe less than that. It taught me something, that when you don't believe for God's goodness, it doesn't show up. And that's what David said. I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living while he's in that old cave running from King Saul. Praise God. Turn to Isaiah 26:3 real quick here. Isaiah 26:3. So where do bad thoughts originate from? Satan. Satan. And those bad thoughts will come about yourself, about other people, and about God. That covers every base, okay? That covers everything. But notice this scripture. I love this scripture right here. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. In verse 3, it says, "Thou," or in other words, God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Now, see the word perfect and peace right there? Now, in English, those are two different words, right? But in the Hebrew, Old Testament was written in Hebrew. It's the same Hebrew word, and it means it's the word shalom. And it says, thou will keep him in perfect, that's shalom, and then peace means shalom. So, in other words, God says, I will keep him or her in shalom, shalom, whose what? Mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, what is shalom, just a greeting like in Hebrew, like shalom? Like we say, hello, bonjour, right? What is it in Spanish?
Hola.
Hola. Okay. Portuguese. No, I'm just kidding. But the word shalom is not just like, hello, how are you doing? Like a greetings, like, how are you guys doing? You know what I'm saying? The word shalom, and if you've been here any length of time, you understand it means this. It's made up of two Hebrew words. And it really means this. When you combine these two definitions of shalom, it means wholeness. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. So when the Hebrews would ask each other, are you shalom? They would say, shalom. And their minds are thinking, I'm whole. There's nothing missing. There's nothing broken. Okay? How would you like some shalom in your home? Okay? Shalom. Jesus is our shalom. The Bible says he is our peace. Shalom. Jesus is our shalom. He is our wholeness. So, but here's what I want to see is God says he will keep those people in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. If we want to have and experience perfect peace, and we're talking about what to do when bad thoughts come, we overcome bad thoughts with good thoughts, with the Word of God. Okay? Now you have to understand, you cannot overcome thoughts with thoughts. You overcome thoughts with words. I want to show you, I want to give this illustration. I want to show you something right now. And have you ever counted under your breath in your mind? Have you ever done that before? Well, if you have, we're going to do it right now. On the count of, when I say go, I want you to count in your mind from 1 to 10. Okay? Ready, set, go. Now, what is your name out loud? Say it out loud. Keith. What happened to the counting? It stopped. So in other words, your voice had authority over what you were thinking. So you don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with words. And when you say, when the devil's bringing you, boom, 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 you're not going to make it. You're going to get fired. This company's getting ready to lay a bunch of people off, and you're going to be without a job. And you're getting these negative, bad thoughts. What we need to do is we need to rise up, and we need to speak out loud some scripture to those thoughts. And then those thoughts will now subside. Okay? When I was just a young fella, I'm still young, but you know. I remember, and I'll conclude with this today. My grandfather on my dad's side developed colon cancer on my mother's side. I was in high school at the time this happened. And I was a new Christian. I was just brand new in the things of God. This is in 1978, to be exact. And I watched my grandfather go from a healthy, good-looking grandfather, you know. He was a master musician and stuff. I mean, he was just a phenomenal guy. And let's not go there. Yeah. That's an inside joke. But I watched him, and of course, my mother and her sisters—they were really close to my grandmother. Were close to him, and we watched him go from a healthy grandfather in his, I would say, 50s, late 50s, early 60s, go from a healthy-looking guy to down to nothing but skin and bones. All right, to the point where he couldn't even get out of bed. And I watched this, and I watched this, and. And I would go over with my mother. We'd take care of her and so forth. And it was pitiful to see that and watch that happen. Well, in 1979, I graduated from high school. He died. He passed away. Okay. During that time, when that was going on, when I was going over there, now this is before I understood how thoughts function and how thoughts operate. This thought came to my mind. Now, I didn't know where it came from. I thought it was my thought. And this thought came to me when this was happening, when we were taking care of him. He goes, that's exactly how you're going to die. Because I was around, there was a spirit of fear that was in that house. My grandmother, she was a world champion warrior. I mean, if she was in the Olympics, she would have got the gold. Make no mistake about it. And so after seeing that and experiencing that and watching them and watching their response, a spirit of fear started to get a hold of me when I was a teenager, okay, 18 years old, 19 years old. And that thought came into my mind, that's exactly how you're going to leave this earth. You see your grandfather, that's a picture of you. Now, at the time, I didn't know. We're talking about negative thoughts, right? I didn't know the origin of that thought. I thought that was just me. I didn't know there was a devil and demons and evil spirits that were whispering those thoughts in my mind. So I never said a word to a soul about it. Never said anything, never talked to anybody about it. But deep inside, I was tormented by this thought. Okay? Well, a few short years later, in 1981, that was 79. In 1981, I was invited to go to a church much like this from a guy that was teaching out of the Bible, praise God, a full gospel church. I'd never been in a church like that before. And the pastor is preaching about thoughts, imaginations, and strongholds. Now, I'd never heard that before. And it was as if I was sitting there. He was reading my mail. He's reading the things that I was dealing with. He didn't know anything about me. But while I'm sitting there in that service, God is just taking one layer at a time off of me, just one layer, and revealing where'd that bad thought come from? Where'd that sickness thought come from? It came from the enemy. Okay? So I'm sitting there in that pew at the church, and I'm thinking, wow, this is really good news, you know? And then he began to talk about how we're redeemed from these things. We got to the source of the root behind those thoughts, those evil thoughts like that, negative thoughts, destructive thoughts. I'm going to take you out with this. That was a bad thought, wasn't it? And I went on a couple of years like that, and it was beating me down, man. I'm telling you, every once in a while, I'd be, oh, geez, you know. But here's what happened. The Word of God, which is light, exposed that dark area of my mind and my thinking about what was going on there. And all of a sudden, the light exposed the darkness and fear went out the back door. All of a sudden, I was like, oh, I know where that came from. You know, it's kind of like that time of the year, you know, Halloween. When I was a kid, we used to, I don't know, what figure would you call it? You knock on doors and take off. What do they call it? Tic-tac. What's it called? Basically, you knock on the door and you take off running, right? People answer the door. There's no one there, you know. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. I used to do it, so I know. Okay. We would do it. We'd walk up to someone's house, bang, 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 knock the door, and we'd run and hide, watch them answer the door, you know. Now, granted, I wasn't saved. Okay. I was the same kid that used to take used tires and roll them down the top of a big hill. Go 100 miles an hour into someone's house. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't saved. All right? I'm not proud of it. That old man's gone, man. He's dead, right? Well, basically, the enemy was bringing those things to me, and I didn't know. I didn't know it was him. But when the pastor, thank God he had light, had gone to Rhema Bible Training Center in 1979 or whatever, 78. It was Lynn's first pastor. Well, he brought light into the room and exposed that dark area of my life and fear. I didn't know that that was coming from the enemy. Well, make a long story short, once I dealt with that fear of that thing, I said, no, I am not going to die of that dreaded disease. Right. Now, that might have happened to my granddad. He didn't know any better. Right. He had no word whatsoever. I hope he knew the Lord. That's all I can say. But since that time, I have never allowed that fear to come back into my mind. You are going to die from this disease. Okay? Because the entrance of God's Word gives light. So I want to conclude with this thought today, that what thought or thoughts have fears have plagued you through the years, maybe since you were a child? Okay? Now, we're not asking you to say it out loud. This is just between you and the Lord. But we're going to deal with that. And we're going to deal blow with it this morning. Get that thing out of your mind. Amen. Because the Lord says, I will give you long life in Psalm 91. With long life, I will satisfy you. And I will show you my salvation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Oh, yeah. I don't care if your brother and sister and all the rest died of the same disease. You're not the next one. We break that curse in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because the devil say, you're next. Your brother was that way. Your sister was that way. Your kin folks were this way. Your parents are this way. And that's what the doctors always ask. What kind of a history do you have? Look, I don't mean to insult their intelligence, but you know what? I'm from a new family, new bloodline. And sickness doesn't run in my bloodline anymore. Health runs in my bloodline. We're of the bloodline of a champion.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
What was the name of that horse that won the triple recently? American Pharaoh. Is that what it's called? Okay. It's interesting. Do you know his bloodline goes back to Secretariat? Huh? You remember, I get chills thinking, I remember in the 70s, who was Secretariat, won the Triple Crown. Fastest horse that ever lived that we know of. Well, American Pharaoh won the Triple Crown. His bloodline goes back to, he's related to Secretariat many decades before that. Well, listen, your bloodline comes from Jesus. The bloodline of a champion runs in your family, in your veins. Healing, deliverance, strength, victory runs in your bloodline. Hallelujah. Don't identify with your natural birth. Identify with your second birth. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your elder brother, and God, your father. That's the bloodline of a champion. Amen? And you're destined to win. We're destined to win. Victory runs in our family. Health runs in our family. Hallelujah. See yourself who you are in Christ. That's the most important thing. Who you are in Christ means everything. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and thank the Lord right now. We're busting loose this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, I am
of the
bloodline
of a champion.
Jesus Christ.
Victory runs in my family.
Success runs in my family.
Healing runs in my family.
Victory runs in my family.
Wealth runs in my family.
Long life runs in my family.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh,
we praise you, Lord God. Oh, we praise you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Just stop and think about that.
I'm a victor because of Jesus Christ. I'm the healed because of Jesus Christ.
I am the delivered because of Jesus Christ. He's my elder brother. That's my bloodline. Victory runs in my house. Health runs in my house.
Health,
divine health runs in my body.
Glory to God.
Joy runs in my family.
Joy of the Lord is my strength.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Somo cre la vie tom be levis from allegre tomans predish leve bracati estos. Itol madev remalagan verdicies. Shebotev alan bakras dis befrondo carasa. Sobrolo mebris ron brigitiestasa.
So make much, saith the Lord, make much of my blood, and my blood will make much of you. For you see, you truly are born of a champion, saith the Lord. I made it that way. And when you came into me through the new birth and you came into that walk with me, you instantly became a champion in my eyes, saith the Lord. You are a champion that cannot be defeated by sickness and disease. You are a champion that cannot be defeated by sin or corruption. You are a champion that cannot be defeated by needs and wants. For you see, you are born of me. You are born of a champion line, saith the Lord. So rejoice, make much of my name, much of my blood, and you'll see.
En mor brokish de brete calotose, en brate si vrotula kete, ronase vroboke, for my wife will redish de will come and bro de sambro.
Yeah, and make little of the past, saith the Lord. Talk not about your past failures and faults and things that have plagued you and your faults and failures. Make little of that, saith the Lord, and make much of what I've made you in Jesus Christ. For you see, when you talk about the past, and you talk about yesterday, and you talk about last week, then you go down and your spirit goes down, your emotions go down. But when you talk about who you are and what I've made you in my presence, there's going to come a strength and a faith like you've never known before. So talk ye of my marvelous works. Talk of that which I've done to you and made you in Christ Jesus. And there'll be great cause for rejoicing because your spirit will latch on. Joy will rise up inside your heart. And the enemy will have to flee. He will not be able to stay. For the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Oh, my gimbrish de do cabro veste breke, and my brota sacro doce will come brote shaka de desto. Yes.
For he has said of my word, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against it. For you see, that flood is the flood of my spirit and the flood of my word. And when the enemy comes in with that thought, the spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. And you'll begin to speak and you'll begin to declare, thus saith the word of God. And when you declare out loud with your mouth what saith the word of God, the joy of the Lord will register in your heart and register in your mouth and register in your mind. And nothing shall by any means stop you or hurt you or harm you, saith the Lord. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Now, someone might, you know, if you're newer to these things, you might say, well, what in the world was that? Well, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 that one of the gifts of the Spirit is tongues and interpretation of tongues. Not translation of tongues, but interpretation of tongues. And it's given by the Spirit to know the mind of God at that very moment. Amen. And so it's not something that's premeditated. It's something that comes at just like that. Just suddenly, it just comes. But did you notice that when the Lord spoke, when we prophesied that, He used our voice, of course. But when we said that, it brought edification, it brought exhortation, it brought comfort. The Lord didn't say, you're a bunch of good nobodies for nothing. You're a bunch of defeated. The Lord didn't say that. Let's praise Him this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You are good, Lord. You are merciful, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus.